Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You're listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Hello and welcome back to another LA Rams UK podcast. This week, a little bit more joyful. Hopefully, all of you have seen that we actually won a game at the weekend against the Arizona Cardinals, 18-7, which has finally, after weeks of tormenting us, has pushed us into the playoffs as the sixth seed wildcard spot. Now, to talk about this game and obviously the playoff situation and other things around the team is just joining me, one other person joining me tonight, and that's Jordan. Hi, how's it going, Jordan?
Yeah, not bad, not bad.
Good stuff. Obviously, the last couple of weeks have been tough, knowing that we only had to win to get in and losing against the worst team in the league, it seems. And then obviously the divisional rivals who we're now going to face next this week. It was nice to finally get a win and to go into the playoffs on that win. So let's go into the game a bit more. Just initial reactions like we normally do, Jordan, for the Cardinal game.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously just nice to be winning again. Obviously, there was a lot of unknowns going into the game, no more so than how the quarterback was going to be. I mean, he played pretty well. He'd done a lot of things that you wouldn't normally see from Jared Goff, for example. But again, I think it was you know, another defensive masterclass. To be honest, you know, They put up as many points as the offense. They put up the nine points with the safety and the defensive touchdown from Troy Hill. So I think as much as it was nice to see something a little bit different from the quarterback, and I'm sure he was, you know, well, especially his first throw, he looked extremely nervous. But after that, you know, he obviously settled down and done pretty well. But I think it was just good to get the win, I suppose. Obviously, the Cardinals had a few issues as well with Kyler Murray going down, but you know, the team seemed to use the old Dick Vermeil quote. They seemed to rally around John Wolford, and maybe didn't play the best football, but the defense certainly played the best football. So it's a lot of interesting talk that, you know, was obviously going on during the game, never mind after the game, with the kind of rumours of Burwell McVay kind of saying he's still unsure of whether Goff's going to be ready for this week. So yeah, a lot to you know, we're on Tuesdays to record this, so they've got another few days of
speculation. Yeah,
yeah. To
say, I mean, I'll read out the questions whether we cover it or not later on, but obviously the biggest question mark is over the quarterback position being the most important, let's say. But yeah, as you said, before this game I was thinking, right, I didn't know anything about Wolford going into this game. I just thought, as long as he has an average game and Gay can get all the field goals and the extra points, our defense should be good enough to hopefully just, you know, take us through. And that seems to be what happened. I think the only thing stopping, I was just looking at the stats, Wolford had a worse rating than just Strebler did. And people were bashing him on the other side. But I think it's only because he got a touchdown off of that interception and putting him in good field position that made him have a higher rating than Wolford. But it's one of those games where both teams were beaten up. Obviously, we had Cooper Kupp out. Brockers was out, obviously, even though defense done superbly. Goff was out. And they had Murray came out in the first quarter, like you said. Kirk and Fitzgerald weren't playing for them in the wide receivers. So it was a bit of an odd game. And also, I'm actually an optimistic person. I like to get behind the underdog. So Wolford's performance might be in my head better than it was. You know what I mean? Especially when he started entertaining us with a bit of running action that you don't often see at the quarterback position. But yeah, he done enough, it seems, if you ignore that first interception. I think he looked lively. It was good. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, I think maybe doing him a little bit of discredit as well, because you know, he did get the team into the red zone, and I think a couple of times to like the 1 yard line. But then there was Cam Akers fumbles on one of them, two false start penalties, obviously take them back 10 yards, and then not sure if it was the same drive or not, but he had a really nice throw to Gerald Everett that he just didn't come down with, which you kind of not necessarily expect your receiver, but you need them to make tough catches sometimes. And I think there was a few times he didn't get the benefit of his receivers making tough catches. So, well, I think I don't think you can ask him to play any better for a first start in such an important game, because obviously you'd obviously rather have, in the end it wouldn't have mattered the result of the Rams game, but you were obviously wanting to do it on your own merit rather than just let the Packers kind of help you stumble over the line into the playoffs. But I think if Goff, I know it's obviously, we said we'll talk about it and there'll be questions, but if Goff isn't even, 75%, if Wilford comes out and has an absolute shocker, you're going to probably rush Goff back, even at, 70, 75%. But maybe it gives McVay a bit of confidence, because, the things he could do with his legs is just something that I've never seen from a Rams quarterback.
Yeah.
Nigh on 20 years, Warner, Bulger, Bradford, Dave, then going into some of the Davies, Austin Davies, Sean Hill, guys like that, they were never able to do that.
It's not necessarily down to speed, because I was looking up there 40 times, which I know in a real game isn't necessarily a great indicator, but Wolford is like 4.77 and I think Goff is like 4.8 something, which I know in that stat is probably quite a big bit, but he's not, you'd think he'd be a lot faster than what he is, but he's obviously just quite aggressive as a runner, and also quite comfortable doing it, not just...
Yeah, it's obviously, I don't know if as well because he's small. Well, he's, to be fair, he's still 6'1 or something, I think, but it's obviously Goff's, 6'4 or something like that.
Yeah.
I think the speed that his legs moves off will make it look a lot faster. But yeah, the 3rd and 8 run, I think there was only a few minutes left of the game, and he, bundles over two guys and gets the first down, just compared to the, I think a week before, was it the Seattle game? I'm not sure if it was the Seattle game or the Jets game where, Goff had to make a first down and he slid about 2 yards shy.
You say slide, he just sort of trips over an invisible hurdle and then just sort of throws himself forward, which surprises me every time, because considering his dad played baseball, didn't he? You think you'd have learned how to slide a little bit with a dad like that playing that game. But he got that. At 3 o'clock, 3 minute mark at the end, he got the first down that enabled us to run the clock down further. And I think that was one of many times, which I know you were tweeting at the time during the game, that he took a shot to the head as well. So do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he took three in within about the first quarter. There was one on one of his first runs they took. The worst one was the one where he tried to score the touchdown. And so I don't know, I think it might have been Simmons for the Cardinals, the one that they're supposed to be looking out for on anyone, never mind the quarterback, where he's, it's basically like the spear movement of, and it was, right into the side of the head. So, yeah, he should have had a few penalties, but, obviously
You mentioned about I'm not sure if it was that one or it was another one where he got hit in the head and it got offset against one of our guys. And
yeah.
If you're going to, totally agree with what you said, if you're going to take it seriously, you can't offset that. That sort of overrides the other penalty, surely.
Yeah. I think it was a holding. So, even the, obviously it works on everything, but it's like the yardage and everything doesn't make sense. One was a 15 yard penalty and one's a 10 yard penalty. So, how can they offset? And then one's obviously a personal foul and it's a hit to the, it was just a hit to the head. So, it's. But anyway, it's the rules.
Well, at least he came away healthy, and like you say, it's nice that he came away from this game feeling that he's competent at the very least. And for watching throughout and listening to the commentators talking about what all his coaches have said about him, and he appeared to be very confident in himself. He seems like someone who's studied obviously the playbook and is comfortable with it, where McVay was letting him do his own thing at times that Goff can't do, like a certain play designed for him, but also opening it up a little bit more. Unfortunately, we had to experience some of the dreaded screens again that just, I mean, I think it worked a couple of weeks ago, but they never seemed, I mean, I don't know, are you with me on this? Do those screens ever work? Or
I think there's always going to be times they work, but it's always seems to be, it's very obvious when they're coming for the Rams. You know, it's usually on a third and long, there's always going to be one. I don't know if there's, I know, but one of the things with McVay always used to be, you know, he says every play looks the same, but it's different when it starts going, you know, from the outset. But I think there must be something in them that gives it away, because it seems a lot of the times you're lucky if you get a yard or two out of them. But I mean, there is going to be times they work, but it just seems to be never the right time for the Rams for some reason. I'm not really sure why that is, but yeah, I mean, but it was interesting because obviously there was a lot of stuff, just the quarterback runs in general, that are never obviously going to be in the playbook for Goff, just because that's not the type of person he is. So it was just interesting to see that whether McVay has basically got a playbook for every type of quarterback set up, or he just made them up in the week running up to that game. You know, I don't think he refused to do his, well, not refused to do it, but, you know, he didn't do the press conference the day after the game press conference. I think he usually has a radio show with JB Long as well that he didn't do. So not really got any answers to any of these questions at the minute, but I think it helped McVay a bit. Again, it wasn't a perfect game from McVay, even with play calling, but, you know, it allowed him to do a lot of different things as well, which, like I say, we might unfortunately not have got the offensive touchdown, but we got deep into the red zone a few times, and then there was just individual mistakes, which, you know, can't afford this week coming up, but you're hoping that you know, your players get them out of their system.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're right. It's maybe not fair on it, because he got us down in that red zone a couple of times. And like you say, there was one on the 1 yard that got pushed back to the 11. And then there's that one where he got hit in the head where he almost ran it in. And that touchdown pass that was missed by Everett. So he kind of done his job, if you like. And he was pretty consistent throughout. So that was good. I was wondering on the run plays, I'm wondering if this is where the offensive coordinator is also quarterback coaching, isn't he, Kevin O'Connell?
I think he does, yeah.
So I'm wondering if he's sort of had more work with Wolford in the back end, and he sort of took over a few of those situations for McVay, or, you know, slid under his nose sort of thing, where McVay wouldn't normally have time to think about it. But one interesting thing, which obviously part of the questions we'll get to, is whether, based on what you said there earlier about whether Goff will go down injured, would be scared, because if he didn't have a good game, you'd be scared to put Wolford back in potentially, and then might see Bortles. But because he'd had a fairly comfortable game, you'd be feel more confident to go in if Goff can't throw it after what happened to Murray. Maybe he goes in for first drive and it's not happening. You feel a bit more better putting Wolford in now. We'll address that later, I guess. but it did seem like Jefferson on the wide receivers was getting a bit more attention. I'm wondering if does he would normally practice with Jefferson more Wolford than the first string guys?
Yeah, obviously Kurt being out was going to elevate Jefferson anyway, but I think they mentioned on the broadcast that he'd probably thrown to Jefferson more than any of the other receivers. So obviously when you've got, well, we didn't have training camp and whatever this year, but in the practices and in the scrimmages and stuff, you know, you're running the ones and the twos. It's probably Jefferson is probably in with the twos with Wolford. So, yeah, he's probably obviously got a bit of chemistry with him more than anyone. Looked like he had maybe a little bit with Akers as well. We had that one long pass down the left that we actually saw Goff miss a few weeks ago. I think was it the Jets game, Henderson, he missed it. So, you know, it's just little things like that, but it's, you know, you're never going to be expecting a perfect game from him, his first start without any meaningful action for basically since pre-season last year would have been his last meaningful action. So but yeah, it, you know, he obviously had a couple of nice connections with Woods and Higby as well. So depending on how it's going to go this week, we're not sure. We've not seen any practice reports or anything. So, you know, he might get a little more time this week to build up a rapport with guys. He might not. So it's going to be one of those ones. We'll not know until we see all the information come out.
And hopefully if he does start, some of those penalties will be, like I say, ironed out for this week. And so we've touched on Wolford quite a bit in the offence, and obviously the rushing seemed to be lacking. It just feels like it's not been doing very well for the last few weeks. I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, it just seems to be no push on the offensive line. I mean, for the most part, they've been doing a good job in pass protection, but you know, they're getting like 1 and 2 yards, it seems, every play, and there's just nothing coming. So if, you know, if Whitworth comes back this week, is that going to be, hopefully that makes a bit of a difference, especially going to the left side. So, but yeah, it's not been great. I think that's, you know, I think as well, obviously, Akers, was he 100%? He's saying that he was, but an ankle sprain, especially I never know the difference. I wouldn't know what one I've ever had in the past. I've definitely sprained my ankle, but I don't know if it's a high ankle sprain.
One of their ones, yeah.
But, you know, some of them can linger for weeks, so I'd be surprised if he really was 100%. And then obviously you didn't have Henderson, who's a bit of a change of pace back. You know, Wilford probably had the best runs out of everybody, and that they were just kind of scrambles a couple of times. So, but yeah, I think offensive line needs to improve on the run game. We're definitely going to need it this week in Seattle. So, whether if he's going to come back and can make a full difference, we'll see. But yeah, something needs to change.
And then, like you say, Akers saying he's 100%, but was he? And then that's what sort of gives you concern about bringing them with the injury Whitworth got. Is it worth? Like, I mean, I know it's do or die kind of bad saying, but because you're in the playoffs. But it's like, is he really going to be that performing at a high standard coming off of that injury? As much as he's doing sort of training on it, you can't replicate the real game sort of thing. Is it pushing him in too early? And you're better off sticking with the guys that you've got that are healthy, properly healthy at the moment. But like I say, we'll have to see what comes out with the injuries, because I think there's still a few question marks hanging over some of our guys. So we'll leave the offense there for now then. And you touched obviously on the defense having a great game. They seem to only give up 48 rushing yards, which is good. And pick six from Mr. Hill. And I see him almost pick another one as well later on in the game that he seemed to drop. Obviously, it would have been a pick six, but it would have been another interception. But do you want to say a few things about the defense?
Yeah, I mean, it was just, they obviously picked on Streveler, you know, I think. And it was probably what we needed. Obviously, the defense weren't put in the best positions with the early interception. But, you know, after that, they kind of, if it was, you know, the situations where the offense was getting to the red zone and just coming up maybe a field goal, that, you know, the defense, you know, didn't kind of, you know, didn't give up anything that came back to bite us as such. Obviously, getting a few sacks, Leonard Floyd getting his $1.25 million dollar bonus for his 10th, or I think he ended up on 10.5 sacks for the season. Mm-hmm. Ebikam getting a couple, and one of them was basically Aaron Donald scared Kyler Murray into Samson Ebikam, I think. Yeah,
that's where like Floyd and so forth can. I mean, he's the flusher, isn't he? Really?
Yeah. I mean, again, Jalen Ramsey on DeAndre Hopkins. I know, obviously, for the most part, as a backup quarterback, but again, Hopkins only having 35 yards. I'm not even sure if any of those yards were on Ramsey. A few at most. He almost picked one.
A flag on Ramsey once, didn't he?
Yeah, and it was pretty weak when you looked at it back, but. Yeah, I mean, overall, they're just doing what they've been doing. I think they finished first in points against, first in yards, total yards against, first in passing yards against, I think, are some of the stats, I think.
Yeah, first passing, defense, yeah. Second rushing, or third, something like that. Yeah, good. And based on that, then, let's just, the latest news is people trying to tap up our defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley. after only 1 year with us.
Yeah, the Chargers and the Jets. So, interesting ones. I mean, I'm not sure how many people would touch the Jets as their first head coaching role, especially when they, you know, they basically done themselves out the first overall pick by winning a couple of games. So, you know, they're not going to get, it's highly unlikely they're going to get Trevor Lawrence, who is everybody's number one quarterback in the draft this year. The Chargers is the more interesting one. But again, be interesting to see what way they go, if they go with an experienced guy or a first time guy. You know, they've actually got, you know, a decent roster, but their coach just didn't, you know, just from reading it and obviously not watch every game of the Chargers, but you know, their coach has been getting hammered the last couple of years, so that's probably one of the more interesting jobs this year. But you know, it's obviously Staley's first season as a coordinator. I see some people say they'd be surprised if he gets a job this time round, but you know, we'll just need to see. Obviously, from a selfish point of view, you hope he stays and can build on that defense going into next season as well. But you know, there's only 32 head coaching jobs in the NFL, so but you know, if an opportunity comes up, it's going to be difficult to say no to it.
Well, I say if we lose this game and then next year, say he doesn't go somewhere and then we don't do so well and his stock goes down as a coach, if you like, he might not get that chance again, potentially. I mean, like you say, Chargers, I said in our DMs, if you like, it seems the obvious one to me, just because he can stay where he is if he's settled down with his family and that in LA. He's already got the young quarterback there. It seems to be doing quite well, you know, personally. But yeah, we'll see if any other offers. I'm not sure how well we do in the playoffs will dictate whether he would stay or go, or whether he's already got it in his head. That's for him to know, I guess. But like I say, it'd be, from a selfish perspective, it's we'd rather keep the guy that's keeping us at number one on a lot of the rankings. So yeah. Okay, so will any last words about the Cardinals game?
No, I mean, just obviously it was good to get the win, to actually get there on your own merit into the playoffs. Obviously the frustrating thing is, I think we only needed to beat, basically if you won any of the other two games, I'm not sure if we'd have won the division even, or went up a seeding place and played, you know, could have played Washington, for example. So, but I suppose from a positive, as we'll come on to, it's, you know, it's a known opponent. There's going to be no team that we know better in these playoffs than the Seahawks. So, yeah, they're obviously a good team, but we know exactly what they're about. So there's going to be no shocks, I don't think.
Sure. And coming into this week, a few players that were absent this weekend. Well, Akers obviously made it back, but you know, he stayed healthy, which it seems he didn't get worse. If he's still got a high ankle issue, which is a positive, because we was worried about not only having our wide receiver, but our now it seems starting running back and our quarterback out. But we've got Brockers, I believe, is coming back. Mecca Kaiser is on the active roster as well, I believe. And the only thing from earlier, looking at possible returns, might be Cup, Whitworth, Taylor Rapp, possibly, and Goff. They haven't been confirmed as far as I see. Is there anyone I've missed off there, Jordan, or any update on those names?
No, I don't think so. Probably something comes out after we're done with this, just due to the timing. But yeah, that's the kind of names so far.
Good stuff. Okay, well, hopefully most of them, if not all of them, can make it back. At least Goff giving us a chance to pick between two healthy people. But I mean, after breaking a thumb, because it was a fracture, and then they're saying he broke it. Which one was it? I was a bit confused.
I'm not entirely sure, but I think I read he had three screws put in it.
Yeah.
So.
And he was throwing the ball on the sidelines, wasn't he? But again.
Yeah, but
how hard and.
There's obviously no pressure and everything, so I think one of the big things as well is, obviously we know that he does fumble the ball, you know, how secure is it? It might be secure enough to throw, but, you know, in terms of his grip, you know, if it gets hit, is the ball just going to come out? You know, it's these type of things that, you know, they'll need to talk about during the week that probably plays into whether he starts or not.
Okay, cool. Okay, well, on that then, we'll naturally just move into this weekend's playoff game against the Seattle Seahawks at their place. But fortunately, well, pros and cons. Fortunately, their crowd isn't there to be making the noise. Unfortunately, we're all going through it at the moment globally, with the UK just announcing another lockdown. Side note. Initial thoughts, Jordan, on our opponents?
No, I mean, it's not like we need to go far back to find a recent matchup. So, you know, obviously the last one was a lot of offensive woes for ourselves. Again, no touchdown offensively. Defense obviously done a really good job up until, what, less than 2 minutes or something, and they gave up the kind of the game sealing touchdown. So, look, I think we could see another defensive battle. You know, we know what Russell Wilson's going to bring. We know how good he can be, but also at the same time, you know, he's had more losses against the Rams than any other team in his career. Mm. So we know we've got a defense that plays him well. We've got a defense that likes to get after him. Also, we saw, I don't know if anyone saw Aaron Donald after the game. I don't think we saw it on our TV over here, but he was getting interviewed directly after the game, and he said that's who we wanted in terms of going into the playoffs when they was told that we'd be playing the Seahawks. So, look, it's obviously a rivalry game, a divisional game, so for the most part, anything can happen. Obviously, at the minute, McVay's keeping coy on who's starting the quarterback, which, you know, it's going to keep Seattle guessing a little bit, I suppose. Even if it is, you know, if it's Goff, like we've spoke about, we need to see how healed that thumb actually is. If it's Wolford, that's a huge game for him to go into, only second start in a playoff game in Seattle. Is, you know, it's lucky there won't be any fans, to be honest. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting one for sure. But it's like I say, it's maybe the, in a sense, the best team they could have got, the Rams, just because of the you know, how much they know them, how much they know what they're about. So, well, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Just not to keep touching on Wolford, but at least this week just gone, it was kind of like a playoff game, wasn't it? Like, you're in, or I know the Packers obviously enabled us to get in anyway, but in their head it was like, we have to win this. So at least it was a pressured game. It wasn't like guaranteed playoff already. So hopefully if he has to be pushed in, he's at least had one of them out of the way, a pressured game. But yeah, no, agree. Yeah, it's probably a good game to go into familiar. We seem to perform quite well even during the Fisher years, dare I say it. And I think there's two games that we've played them. I think we've sacked Wilson I think it's 11 times, something like that. It's like six times. I think it was six times in week 10. I've got here, and five sacks in week 16, even, and five of them came from Floyd.
Yeah.
So could be another good day for our defense, and especially if they're ranked at first passing as well. Hopefully, they can lock down their wide receivers, including Metcalf, which Ramsey seems to. How many yards? You got that on the tip of your tongue? How many yards he's allowed Metcalf to have?
I don't think it's not many. I know Metcalf had 59 yards the last game, but not all of them were on Ramsey. I'm not sure he had any in the first game. So yeah, so it's not a lot. And there was a video I saw just not long before we came on, and it was, I think it was from the first game, the Rams win, and Metcalf kind of starts over on the same side as Ramsey and then motions away from him, and Ramsey's just shaking his head. So you know that he wants that matchup. He wanted it against Hopkins on Sunday as well. So you know, if you're locking up arguably their most dangerous offensive player outside of Wilson, then You know, that's half the battle, you know, to take Metcalf out of the game. And, you know, it's obviously, we know it's not just Ramsey as well. We've got, you know, Williams, Troy Hill's playing really well. And then on the back end, you've got Johnston Fuller. So, you know, I think defensively, we've got a lot to be confident about. Offensively, there's a lot of questions, and it's mainly questions that we can't even really answer just now. It's a lot of hypotheticals, just because you don't even know who the quarterback's going to be. So
you don't know if the quarterback, whether Cup will be back, you know, when your top two wide receivers. What I did see was interesting on a couple of one personnel and one from a statistic point of view is that Seattle our defense is rated second against the play action, which is our sort of go-to, isn't it? when Goff's in, that is. So one of the questions that, there's plenty of ones about quarterbacks, I'll bring one of them up now. But one of the questions was whether we treat Wolford like the Saints treat Hill by bringing him in a few times just to shake it up during the game. How do you feel about that?
It's not one I'm too, you know, confident about going in with, just for, I mean, a few reasons, but one, we saw on Sunday that there was a few false start penalties, and a lot of that's just due to they've not practiced a lot with Wolford, whereas, you know, Taysom Hill was a built-in part of that Saints offense. That's not what John Wolford's been for the last year and a half, so that's changing so much about your, I know it's only maybe like one play here and there, but at the same time, it's changing so much about your offense.
Line would struggle with that sort of
issue? Yeah, well, it's a different cadence. You know, that they're so used to the way Goff, you know, if he's doing the hard count, they know what it sounds like. There was a couple of times I think Wolford got false start penalties, and it was just due to that. They're not used to, you know, how he's calling the game. So I'm not entirely confident on that. I think as well, you know, a lot of what Goff does is based on his rhythm. You know, if he's in a good rhythm, you know, then you're taking him out for a play or two, then is that going to break his rhythm and whatever. So that's not an idea I'm too, you know, enamoured with, to be honest.
I liked what I watched a presser with Wolford afterwards, and he was talking about Goff seemed to be really supportive. He liked to hear. And he said one of the things I thought was quite cool from Goff was that he kept going on about pace. Did you hear him say that? Play after critical error.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've always thought Goff was, you see two ways to take Goff, where he just doesn't have the passion or whether he's just cool-headed. And I've always looked at him as cool-headed. But there's only so much you can put up with that when things aren't getting fixed, if you like. Because you're almost like, if someone's got that passion, you think, well, at least they're trying, do you know what I mean? But you don't really see that in a cool-headed person. But it was nice that, obviously, he's supporting Wolford as well with that. But the other thing I was going to mention was injuries. I think Jamal Adams against the Niners, he hurt his shoulder and went out for the game, I believe.
I saw the quote was from Pete Carroll saying that Jamal Adams looked quite emotional when he was in the locker room after it, and that's generally a sign that, you know, he's obviously going to know his own body the best. It's generally a sign that it's a pretty bad one. But again, we've not seen anything to rule him out completely, but yeah, it'd be huge because he's obviously, so he had a fair few sacks this year. They keep classing him as a defensive back, but he's basically a linebacker. But I think he had, like, you know, 9.5 sacks or something like that, if not more. So
he's down as a safety. That's what I saw.
But he doesn't play safety.
No. The other person I've seen was a defensive tackle, Reed, who's got 6.5 sacks on the season so far. Uncertain as well. Do you know much about Jaron Reed?
No, I didn't read much on that, but again, anything that's going out of their defensive line with the kind of offensive line struggles in terms of the running game push that we've had is a good thing, to be honest. So, you're hoping these guys miss it selfishly. Again, it's not a nice thing to say. You hope somebody's injured, but, you know, for this game anyway, you're hoping that those guys aren't going to be at least 100%.
There's always that thin line of winning it, but with an asterisk, if you like, that other teams were banged up, or whether you played them at their best sort of thing. But yeah, we'll see on both sides, I guess, as the week goes on, because our game is on Saturday at 9:40 our time. So slightly later than this last game. Probably a 1 o'clock finish, I'd have thought, something like that. So hopefully next week we'll be discussing the positives that came out of that game and looking at the week after. Cool. So do you want any last words about Seattle, or do you want to move on?
No. I mean, again, there's so many hypotheticals from their point of view this week that we kind of need to wait until Saturday to see. Well, we need to see if the mind games are still going throughout the week with McVay in terms of how he's viewing Goff's availability. And then we'll see on Saturday, hopefully, how well it's going to go.
Good stuff. Okay, well, what we'll do then is we'll look at our predictions. Obviously, we've reached the end of regular season, but we have agreed to carry on into the playoffs, not because anyone's particularly losing and voted that way. But we have got ourselves a situation where there's tiebreakers at either end. So I'll just name the totals after week 7 at the moment. Chris is on 58, as are you, Jordan, in the lead, both on 58. You then have Rob on 53, quite far off there, and then Tony on 51, and then me and Tom on 50 at the bottom there. So that's after week 17. And week 17, just to cover the predictions, there was only 3 games, which are Pittsburgh at Cleveland, and Cleveland won that game. And as our game, obviously, we all went with the Rams. And Washington at Philadelphia, which Washington won. So it's quite a short list there that week. But we've got predictions for all the wild card games. So the wild card games, Indianapolis versus Buffalo. We've got everyone going Buffalo, so that's a nice easy one to read out there. You've got Cleveland versus Pittsburgh. We've got a bit of a mixture. We've got Chris, me, Rob and Tom with Pitt. You and Tony are gone with the Browns. They're gonna put they played them this week, didn't they?
Yeah, but Pittsburgh rested. Well, Roethlisberger didn't play. I'm not sure a few defensive guys played for Pittsburgh either, but yeah, so I know that I think the Cleveland head coach has got COVID, so he's not going to be there. So again, this one's already written down, so I can't change it, but right. It's likely that it's going to be the Browns already.
Okay, cool. And you've got Baltimore versus Tennessee. We've got Chris only going with Baltimore and everyone else going with Tennessee there. You've got Chicago, New Orleans. Everyone's gone with New Orleans. No, they haven't. Tony and Tom have gone with Chicago. Another 7 beating the number 2 seed, is that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And us, obviously, Seattle, everyone's gone loyal and with the Rams. And you've got Tampa Bay, Washington. Everyone's gone Tampa Bay. So, I mean, looking at based on that, don't obviously look too far ahead. It's one game at a time attitude. But the bracket that we looked at, I mean, did I have it right when we was discussing it earlier? So, if the Saints beat the Bears and we win, we play the Packers because we're the next lowest seed.
Yeah, the NFL's different to, like, you know, like with the like say NBA, they set their playoffs out, you know, 1 versus 8, you know, 2 versus 7, 3 versus 6, 4 versus 5. But the bracket's set up, so if there's an upset in there, it doesn't matter. The bracket stays the same. Whereas with the NFL, it's basically the lowest seed always plays the highest seed. Well, getting into this round anyway, so yeah.
Okay. So yes, if the Bears win against the Saints, they will play Packers. But if they lose, we will play the Packers.
Yeah.
But if the Saints beat the Bears, if the Bears win, we will play Washington or Buccaneers. I think that's it. So hopefully that clears that up. we won't go into the other side because I don't care about that. Cool. So that's the predictions. That's the bracket. And we'll take some questions. Did you want me to read out the Facebook ones first?
Yeah, can go for it. I think I've got an idea what most of them are going to be, but...
Yeah, like I said earlier, most of them are. So we'll read through them and just, I've got this. So we got Daniel Bassat. I just saw a YouTube video with James Buckley in between us. in the new blue Goth 16 Rams shirt. Anyone know if he's a fan? Well, imagine so if he's wearing it. Do we have any UK-based famous fans? Are you aware of any UK famous people? Famous, you know.
No, I don't ever pay attention to stuff like that.
Me too. I'll get enough stick for not being part of this celebrity culture. So we'll leave that one. So the answer's no between me and Jordan. Obviously, we've got Andrew Watkins. Okay, most obvious question. Which quarterback do we start? They're all pretty much quarterbacks, as we predicted. Gary Burke, which QB gives us the best chance to win? I've been a fan of Goff, but has Wolford, after one game, done enough to beat him out? So where do you actually stand on that? If Goff comes back and he can throw it and he's saying, I don't know what 90% is, but I don't know, say it's 90%, would you go with Goff to start the game?
I mean, I think you probably have to, just based on the fact that Goff's played in these big games before. Like you say, it does seem extremely, you know, I suppose they kind of call it California cool, if you like, you know, like level-headed and calm, but I just think he's done it in the big games. He's done it in the Superdome and the NFC Championship a couple of years ago, the big, you know, games against, third game against Dallas in the playoffs. He's beaten Seattle before in Seattle. Obviously, a couple of weeks ago it didn't happen, but I just think he's got the experience. So, yeah, you do go with him. But the thing this time might be that he's going to be on a much shorter leash. And, you know, I kind of spoke about this before we saw how Wolford was going to play. And it was kind of like, you know, Wolford's an unknown. So, but at the same time, if McVay and the rest of the coaching staff knew how good he potentially could be, you know, he'd have probably pulled Goff out a couple of these games. Yeah. Maybe that's something that we can potentially see this week if it doesn't go as planned. Obviously, you don't want it to come to that. You'd rather Goff just comes in and plays extremely well. But maybe, you know, maybe McVay into the second half, we're down. It feels like the offense needs a spark. It's something that can, it can change about and go another direction. But I think for me, Goff's the guy with all the experience. He's got us there before. I think, especially with the, I suppose money, the money shouldn't come into it as such, but, you know, at the same time, you've backed him with that contract. You need to back him in these situations.
It seems a bit bad blood if he comes in. The problem is, he was almost the last few weeks on a downwards trend, and then he obviously was injured for this game, and then Wolford's come in a weird game and done okay, but come away with a win. It would be harsh to put Goff in. He'd have to come away injured to put Wolford in. If he wasn't playing, you obviously won't want to take him out when we're too far down. But even at that point, Goff would want to stay in and try and get us back in it, like he has done. Even this year when we came back against the Bills, we were down massively. Goff did that. So it'd be bad blood to pull him out for bad performance and replace him with a second game rookie, if you like. When he's on that contract and he's been trusted before, but that's for the guys that get paid the big bucks in the coaching department to decide, I guess.
On it, like I say, if Goff's, you know, 75% or less, then just I don't see the point in risking him, because, you know, it's just, but you need to kind of take a bigger picture approach as well in terms of, especially with the last few weeks, how many people probably even expect us to do anything in the playoffs right now? You know, why risk your franchise quarterback? You know, I don't know how serious this injury could get, you know, if he aggravates it, but, you know, why risk him if he's not even close to being fully fit? So I think that, you know, like I say, Wolford had a good game. So it gives you at least a little bit of confidence that he can get us into at least semi-decent positions. But for me, you need to go with the guy that's been there and done it before, at least to start with.
Yeah, I think on looking at this, the thread, I think most people are similar to me, where they've maybe got a bit carried away with the Wolford story and just hype, just because it was a bit negative the last few weeks. It's something good to hang on to. And the smart answer would be, if he's okay to play, you play Goff. to be honest. But it's a lot of people in there saying, is this really a question? Like, you clearly play golf, you know. So, Ben Williams, can the D carry the team to the title of the offense if the offense doesn't commit turnovers? So, I mean, we like to think this is a, as what they say, a championship defense that wins us the championship. I mean, you can't get much better than what they're playing, I guess. But it's all about the errors, I guess, on the offense side of it, which Goff has had his, you know, his fair share of.
Yeah, well, I think we were the only, I don't know if it was the only team this season, but I think we're one of only two teams, and certainly in recent years, that have committed a turnover in every game and made the playoffs. The last team was the 2007 Giants. If you want to look up what they did, then go look up what they did, which I'm not going to tempt fate on anything. But
I promise him.
Yeah, but I mean, I think as you know, you even look at when they're at when they did commit turnovers, they just seem to commit them in all the wrong places, you know, like so Sunday, although, you know, it didn't come back to haunt us, you know, it's inside the Rams 20-yard line, you know, there's, you need, if you're going to commit them, at least give them a chance, the defense, yeah. But yeah, I think if it was just this, you know, a middle-of-the-road offense that was safe in terms of not committing turnovers, then yeah, they've got as good a chance as anybody, but at the minute we've not shown that on offense, which doesn't give you a huge amount of confidence. But you know, there's potential there if the offense finds another gear. But it's I don't think you're putting us as one of the favorites right now. As you know, more of the thing to say.
And our main problem seems to be in the red zone, which, from what I hear, is mainly being put on the coaches. McVay specifically, is that something in your experience it tends to, I mean, I don't know why the red zone would be more on McVay than anywhere else on the field, on the pitch, but is that something that ultimately does hang on McVay's head?
Yeah, I mean, I think when it's been something that's kind of been an issue for most of the time, if not all of the time he's been here, then yeah, it does. But again, like we say, the offensive line's not getting any push at the minute. If you can't, you know, there was a couple of times where we hit it on the 1 and 2 yard line, we couldn't punch it in. That's an issue on the players as well. So it's a bit of both, to be honest. But you know, like we say, if Whitworth comes back this week and he's even close to being healthy, that may give us a bit of optimism in that sense. So it's something we'll need to see.
Good stuff. And just a few more. We've got Dan Bratt, 99, Giraffe or Wolf. Scott Kirkwood, is it time to give Van Jefferson more throws? I feel the past few weeks, Reynolds has been off the boil. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I've said that. I think I tweeted that out a couple of weeks ago. I just think for being the big guy, Reynolds isn't not aggressive enough in going for catches. A lot of it seems to be kind of half pace as well, which is a concern. But you know, I'd certainly go with Jefferson in some situations. But again, you know, it's tough. He's not been involved fully in the offense all season, so to throw him in with an increased role against the Seahawks is obviously, it's a risk as well. But I think it's going to be something we obviously see next year. This Jefferson is going to be a bigger part. I'd be surprised if we see Reynolds back. So it might be one that we need to wait on till next year, but it's something that I've said for a few weeks now, yeah.
Cool, good stuff. Well, I think that wraps up the questions for us. So thanks to everyone who sent them in. It's although obviously there's a lot of similar questions because it's the big topic at the moment. Obviously, throughout the week, we'll find out Goff's status and see what McVay wants to do, whether he'll pretend he's going to do something and do something else on the day. We'll see, I guess. But any last words there, Jordan?
No, I think... That's pretty much wait and see. The Goff Wilford's question is going to go until 9:40 on Saturday night.
Yep, so hopefully you guys are all up Saturday night. It's unusual, normally on a Sunday, but at least it's for those that would normally wake up on Monday with work, you don't have to. It's a nice Sunday morning, so maybe get a lay-in. 9:40 at Seattle. Till next week, hopefully we'll be back with positive news. It's a bye from me, Jordan.
Yep, cheers, thanks.
Cheers, guys.